Well, I wonder whether you spotted in that little video that last phrase that went like this. On Sundays, we gather together, we strengthen and empower one another to be sent out again for life on our front lines. Last week, we launched our verse of the year, which is behind me. These wonderful words of Jesus when he said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." I wonder if you've been praying for that this week. Have you been praying for more workers? But last week we looked at this wonderful encouragement to see people as Jesus sees them. We saw the context of this verse is the compassion of Jesus for lost people and the call to pray for more workers. And the other side of the harvest field is our focus tonight. It's the importance of us coming together, encouraging one another, and being united together as church. Mission, as we go out to the harvest field day by day, actually needs church unity. And church unity should spur us all on to mission. So let's look at these short verses from Ephesians tonight. And see that we are united. We're united people. We are God's people who are united. Let's read again verses 4 to 6. Have a look. Paul writes, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all, and in all." If you're a believer tonight, you can't miss the truth that we are united. Paul says that we are part of one body, that is, one church of Christian believers throughout all time and in all places. All Saints and St. Richard's Crowborough is simply a local expression of that massive one church. And there is one Spirit. The Holy Spirit who indwells each and every believer, and he guarantees our future with Christ, and he empowers us to live for him now. One body, one spirit, one hope of future forever with him, where there'll be no more tears, no more pain, no more death, no more sin, no more struggle, no more suffering. One body, one spirit, one hope, and one Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is sent into the world to save sinners like you and me by going to the cross to die for them, only to rise from the dead 3 days later. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, that is believing in who Jesus is, the Son of God, our Saviour, and what he can do to rescue us. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one mark of belonging to the people of God, and one God who loves us like a father and who rules over all things. Isn't that a remarkable statement that Paul makes in Ephesians? Actually, reads a bit like a creed, a statement of what we believe. In fact, perfectly possible that Paul might have borrowed the words of some of the creeds which were knocking around at the time. And just as an aside, notice that one of the things that unites us is this one baptism. One baptism. Now, we don't actually talk much about baptism here at All Saints. But baptism is a sign of the people of God, the covenant community, which is a community marked out by the promises of God. It is a public sign that sets us apart as members of this family. And it's worth saying, if you are a part of God's family, if you're a Christian tonight, if you know and you love Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you should get baptized. If you haven't already, we'd love to open up the pool at the back of church and baptize you. If you are a believer and you've not been baptized, why not publicly declare that I belong to Jesus and identify yourself as you're buried under the water and raised to new life and say, I'm a follower of him. I'm obeying Jesus. Jesus calls me to believe and be baptized, and I will be baptized. Why not respond to God's word tonight by being baptized? Now, we are an Anglican church, And that means we are happily encouraging people to get their children baptized if they're a Christian family. They will be growing up in a covenant community, and so we give them a sign of community belonging. But the water and the words we say at baptism do not save us. It's only Jesus who saves us. Maybe you're here tonight and you were baptized as a child, but you're not following Jesus, or you've grown lax in your faith. Friends, do not rely on that sign that you were given as a child. Your only hope is to turn to the only Lord who gives us the only hope worth having, trusting in Christ to save us. And maybe you are here and you were baptized as a child, part of the church family, and you want to affirm your faith publicly. You love Jesus. You want it to be known that you follow Jesus. Then we offer something called confirmation. It's a chance to confirm your faith of promises to God. Take hold of those promises and publicly say, I believe these, I follow Christ, I am his. I know many of us had Thanksgiving services as children here at All Saints, and you're following Jesus and you've not yet been baptized. What's holding you back? What's stopping you? We'd love this Easter Sunday coming up in a few months' time to open up the pool and baptize lots of people who say, I am a follower of Christ. I'm obeying Christ. Just let me know you'd like to do that, and I'll be delighted to baptize you. It's a remarkable statement. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. And notice that this unity through faith in Christ is an absolute fact. It's objective unity. It's not based on how I feel about other believers. And that's a really good thing, because we are all sinners. We don't get on all the time. Just look around this room, and you'll inevitably see someone who has frustrated you in the past, who has been a source of frustration. And you've been a frustration to them. Someone you've argued with or been grumpy with. We're sinners trying to be a community together. Of course, that happens. But our unity is based on an objective truth, on fact. It doesn't matter how you feel, there is still only one church and one hope for the future. Your emotions can't change that fact. There is only one Lord, one Spirit who dwells within us. And the truth is, we're united, whether you like it or not. That's worth remembering, isn't it? John Newton, who wrote the famous hymn Amazing Grace, and wore some amazing wigs. We're going to watch, I see a picture now of him in a moment. He was an incredible pastor, and he was often consulted by other ministers who were struggling or for ideas or issues. They took them to John Newton. And there's a letter that Adam's quoting in a moment of a friend of his who was struggling with other people, other Christians, over a theological issue. And Newton's advice is based on the one hope. Here he is. Look at that great wig. I mean, who would want a wig like that? It's what John Newton says. He says in this letter to this friend who's getting grumpy with his other people, in a little while, you will meet in heaven. He will then be dearer to you than the nearest friend you have upon earth is to you now. So he says, look, you've fallen out with this guy. You're having this theological debate. It's getting on your nerves. You're irritating each other. And John Newton says, in a little while, you will meet in heaven. This one hope. He will then be dearer to you than the nearest friend you have upon earth is to you now. Our unity is a fact. It overcomes disagreements and disputes in the here and now. And this unity is worth maintaining. Unity is worth maintaining. Look down at verses 1 to 3. Let me read them to you again. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Paul gives us this little list of character traits which we're to display as part of our making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. They're beautiful things, aren't they? Humble, gentle, patient, loving other believers. It's quite a list, isn't it? And a moment's reflection will reveal that we don't naturally do something or other in that list. But there's one particular thing we struggle with, or lots. But that's why it's a command. You don't need people to command you to do things that you naturally do. No one needs the command to breathe. We need commands about things that we don't naturally do. Struggling with the character traits is normal. But it shouldn't stop us making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit by displaying those traits. Let me give you two reasons to make every effort for unity. Firstly, it's a unity, as we've already seen, based on what God has done for you. This is gospel unity. Let's come back to John Newton again and see what he said next in that sentence to his friend who was grumpy with a mate. It's advice about how to handle that spat. This is what he says. The Lord loves him and bears with him. Therefore, you must not despise him or treat him harshly. The Lord bears with you likewise and expects that you should show tenderness to others from a sense of the much forgiveness you need yourself. Work hard at maintaining unity. Work hard at bearing with one another because the Lord puts up with you. He bears with us. Just apply that idea to our list. Be humble with one another. Because you did not earn your salvation. It's all from God. Be gentle with one another. Because the Lord is gentle with you in all your weakness, all your mistakes, all your failures, all your struggles. Be patient with one another. Because the Lord is patient and faithfully forgiving you. Be loving to each other. Because the Lord is abounding instead fast love for you. Unity, effort, because of how the Lord treats you so graciously with humility and gentleness and patience and love. Secondly, make every effort to keep the unity because Paul paints a pretty lovely picture of a community that most people would love to be a part of. Do you know, friends, people are longing to belong. They're longing for community. They're longing to be part of a community where people can flourish because there's no competition or rivalry, just humble people. A community which is safe because its people are gentle and caring. A community where it's okay if we make mistakes because we know the person sat next to us in church is patient with us. A community characterized by love so that I feel welcomed as soon as I walk through the door, cared for, that I become part of the community and looked after when I'm feeling weak. That is a community people will want to be a part of. That's a community that Jesus wants to create in the church. You see, unity is vital for mission. Paul is writing to this church in Ephesus, and it's made up of a mixture of Jewish believers and Gentile believers. And despite the differences between the two, they are united as one in the church. And even if Paul is having to encourage them to maintain that unity, just back in chapter 2, he wrote this. Now in Christ, you once were far away, but you've been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. He has made the two groups one. He's destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. That's what Christ has done. That's the impact of Jesus' gospel on groups of people. Two groups, Jew and Gentile, culturally different, living in hostility to one another, and yet in Christ they are made one, reconciled, brought to peace. The impact of the gospel going out is different people becoming united together in the church. And that is a beautiful miracle. I love that, don't you? We're all so different, yet we are one because of the peace of Christ. It's a beautiful, powerful thing. You see, a united church is the outcome of mission. So in your Bibles, just have a little look with me at Romans chapter 10. It's on page 1137. Page 1137. Romans 10, verses 12 to 15. I'm going to read those verses. And notice as we do, the inclusive language in verse 12. Romans 10, verses 12 to 15. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Do you notice the inclusive language there in verse 12? The unity of the people because of the gospel. No difference because of the Lord, who is Lord of all, who blesses all, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The unity in Christ, in the gospel, flows out into mission. Because everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, as together we are involved in mission. There is a deep and intimate connection in the New Testament between a united church and a missional church. Because mission and unity rest on the same principles that there is only one Saviour, one faith, one hope, one good news that people need to hear to be transformed and saved by. And so our plea at the beginning of this year, when we're going to be focusing on and thinking about mission and the harvest field, both here and far away, is that we would not lose sight of each other. That we would not become so outward focused that we stop caring for one another. If I can go a step further, effective focus on the harvest field depends on a united church family. Because a united church family displays the gospel as different people for different backgrounds love and care for one another. And that's powerful, isn't it? And a united church built up as workers for the Crowborough Harvest Field together as we build each other up in this place week after week in our small groups and ministries as we gather on the Lord's Day. Last week we were looking at those verses from Matthew, and we were praying, Lord Jesus, help me to see people with your eyes, the eyes of compassion for the lost. We prayed, Lord Jesus, give me your eyes to see the plentiful harvest field. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Well, we should add this little sentence to our prayers. Lord Jesus, help me make every effort to stay united with my brothers and sisters at All Saints for your glory, the growth of your kingdom in this place and in this world. Let me pray. Praise you, Lord God, for the gospel that unites us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to care for each other, to show grace and humility and gentleness, to encourage each other so that we can be strengthened to go and serve you in the task of mission in our day-to-day lives and all over this world. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you for Jesus Christ. Give us eyes that care for each other, that see the need, that work together for your glory. In your name's sake, we pray. Amen.